All right. Hey, well, you know, that's me.
Once again, for media members on the line, if you have questions for the coaches this morning, just use the chat feature or the raise your hand icon. We now welcome onto the call the head coach at Villanova, Mark Ferrante. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Congratulations to you and your guys. A really impressive road victory for your team at North Carolina A&T on Saturday, 37-14. What did you like most about the way your team played?
Well, I like the way our guys approached the game. We did a good job really controlling the football. We've done better on third down conversions to keep the drive alive. So we really were able to control the ball. I think we ran 50 plays to 15 in the first half. And there was a wind. I don't think it affected anything, maybe the kicking game a little bit. So we were going into the wind the first quarter, and we opened up the game with a drive that took almost 6.5 minutes. So that was good to see. We were able to distribute the ball to a lot of different people. We had real good balance in the run and pass. Our defense, because of the control of the offense, and unfortunately because of the kickoff that they returned for a touchdown, their offense didn't have to go on the field after that one. Our defense stayed pretty fresh, and we're able to, you know, make some plays and get off the field and hold them to some three and outs and so on. So really pleased with the guys, the way they came and approached the game. You know, it's always hard to win a game. It's always hard to win on the road in the CAA. So I thought that all went well. And I think our preparation and the approach our guys came in with mentally, you know, was a good one.
Question this morning from Martin Arnici. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. Wanted to ask you, Elon used three quarterbacks last week. They've used them all. How tough is that to prepare for a team like that, really not knowing what, you know, what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, that's always challenging. You know, we kind of had the same deal going into this last week's game, although, you know, when you watch the first four games of A&T, they had three different quarterbacks playing. It looks like they settled in on number 10, the freshman, the week before us. So we were more concerned preparing for him. But like you said, I mean, they have a guy that looks like he's distributing the ball really well down the field with Downing, number 12. And then they put in another guy who looks to be more of the runner guy. So whenever you have to prepare for dual threat quarterbacks or multiple quarterbacks, that makes it a little challenging. But, you know, our approach each week is we want to focus on stopping the run. They have a really good running back. I think he's second or third in the league in rushing right now with Jalen Hampton. He's been there for a long time. He's a really good player. So we want to stop the run, hopefully try to make them one-dimensional, which would make them want to maybe throw it a little more than they're accustomed to, and then, you know, obviously defend the pass. But it's always a challenge when you have multiple people that you're watching on film and preparing for, that's for sure.
Mark, I think one of the real key players that you've had so far has actually been your punter. Can you talk a little bit about Fondacaro and what he's done this year for you guys?
Yeah, Nate's really good. It's great to have him back. He missed all of last year with an Achilles injury, so that's what allowed him to get this extra year of eligibility this year. He was a first-team all-league guy, you know, the season prior too, so he's a really good punter. Sometimes, you know, it rolls in the end zone, so his net isn't as great as, you know, he kicks a 56-yarder, but it goes into the end zone. So, you know, kick a 50-yarder and we can down it inside the 10. But Nate's got a strong leg. He's been with us for a long time. We definitely missed him last year, so it's really good to have him back this year because he can change the field position in a hurry. You know, I think he's averaging close to 45 a kick right now, although his net, because of a return here and there or the ones that go in the end zone, you lose some of that yardage. But Nate's got a strong leg, and he's a really good player, and we're glad that, you know, he's on our side.
And one last thing, it seems, and you know better than I, obviously, that you're relatively healthy. How do you feel health-wise going into, you know, this really second part of the season?
Well, it was good to have Jalen Jackson back in the running back rotation, you know, to be able to distribute the ball to the three different running backs that we have. Hayek is coming back around, and it's good to see the development of Sanchez. So now we have that third wide receiver, so people maybe can't just focus on Pringle and Hayek as much now that Jalen has showed that he can do some things. And up front, we're fairly healthy, like you said, on both sides of the ball. So that's always a positive. That's always going to be the, you know, key for us. We don't have the 110-man roster. We're only carrying about 91 total bodies, 92 at the most. So You know, if we can stay healthy, then I think that gives us a fighting chance.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, you touched on Jalen Jackson being back. You guys ran for almost 250 yards, were extremely balanced, because Connor had a great day too. But what does adding Jalen to that running back rotation to give you three guys that maybe do it all a little bit differently, what does he add to the mix?
Yeah, he's more of that powerful runner guy. He can break tackles. He can get between the tackles and, you know, then still have the speed to bounce to the outside if he gets through the first or second level. He's just a tough physical runner that can wear the defense down a little bit. TD is more of the, you know, outside zone spread guy who can catch it really well out of the backfield. And then D. Will's kind of a combination of the two. So, you know, we don't want to give a guy the ball 30 times a game, because then, especially, you know, in the length of the season and the people we play, you're going to get banged up. So it was really good balance to have three guys there. One of them got 16, the other got 14, and the other got 13 carries. And that'll take some of the, you know, running pressure off of Connor, the quarterback, because, you know, we don't want him to get, you know, hit too much as well. So always good to have those three guys. They've all been very experienced. They've all had really good games individually, but whenever we can spread the wealth of the carries, that's going to help us in the long run.
You talked about the two big plays that that Jalen had. He was pretty open on both of those plays. How much did the effectiveness of the run game, how much does that help spring a guy like that maybe in the passing game?
Well, I think it definitely opens it up. You know, the one was really a busted coverage and he got behind the guys. But I think the safety was getting a little aggressive coming downhill because of the run game. And then on the other one, he had one-on-one coverage on the other side of the field and their feet got a little tangled up and the defender actually fell down. But if he's going to have single coverage because they're looking to stop the run game that, you know, we're able to hopefully continue to maintain, or, you know, so get more people involved in the box and get guys like Pringle Hayek, or in this case, Jalen Sanchez with some one-on-one coverage, you know, I'm hope we can have more success with getting the ball delivered to those guys. So load up the box. We're going to have to take what's there. We want to try to have the balance to the best we can, run and pass. And fortunately, we're able to do that this past weekend. Connor does have a strong arm, so we can get the ball down the field. And thankfully, he put those two, you know, where they needed to be. And, you know, they weren't under or overthrown. They hit Jalen in stride, and, you know, they were able to find the end zone on those two plays.
Defense was good all day. You held A&T to 172 yards. As you said, they weren't on the field for a ton of plays. But one of the things that also jumped out, I think they were maybe 0 for 8 on third down in the second half. What were you able to do so effectively to be able to get off the field, and how big of a deal was that?
Yeah, I think our guys just rallied to the ball pretty well. You know, I think we had decent coverage down the field. You know, they did drop a couple. We did allow their quarterback to get out and scramble for that 120 plus yard touchdown run. So, you know, we knew he was going to look to pull it down and get outside because he looked really fast in the film prior to against Norfolk. But I think our guys are just playing good gap sound defense. And, you know, as long as we play fundamentally sound and tackle well and defend the ball when it's in the air, you know, you have a chance. So I just think it was our guys coming and playing hard and trying to play physical that caused some of those third down conversions to come up short. So again, and I think they were fresh. Like I said, I mean, they didn't play much in the first half. So our defense came out pretty fresh in the second half. I think our top player on defense played a total of 32 snaps this past game out of the total of 46. So hopefully that'll be good. We can continue to rotate people through at all three phases of the defense, D-line, linebacker, and secondary. And if we can do that, then we can keep them fresh and they can run to the football and, you know, hopefully play as physical as they did this past Saturday.
Certainly a big game Saturday. Elon 3-0 sitting in first place in the conference, and you guys are right there behind them. How big is this game? And you've touched on the offense, but what impressions is it about the Elon defense?
Yeah, they're going to run to the ball. They're aggressive. You know, Tony's a defensive guy. He's going to have them ready for this game for sure. They are 3-0 in the league, as you mentioned, you know, so, and it's, you hear all the other coaches say it on their calls, and we've talked about it amongst ourselves. each week is a new week. Each week, you better be prepared. You better be ready to play and strap it on, regardless of the records. You know, in this case, they obviously have a great in-league record right now. So every game is important, and you got to approach every game the same, and you got to focus on what you're doing. You got to play, as I already mentioned, fundamentally sound football. You got to play aggressive style. You got to play physical. You got to tackle well. You got to not shoot yourself in the foot. You know, the week before, we gave the ball to Albany 5 times. We lost a turnover battle 5-0. So when you do that, I don't care who you're playing, you know, you're going to come on the short end of the stick, especially in this league. So we just got to prepare and practice well and do what we did last week. And hopefully our preparation will lead to good execution. And if it leads to good execution and we don't have those, self-inflicting penalties or the turnovers that we had the week before, hopefully we can come out on top. But I know they'll be ready coming in here, and it's going to be another, you know, highly contested CAA game, just like they always are.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the time this morning. And I look forward to talking again next Monday.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Take care. You too.